That's good. That is good. All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1. 1 Peter 5, 1. The divine text says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may exalt, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Note carefully, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Father, I pray now that you'd anoint this word as it goes forth from the mouth of this messenger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I call your attention to the last phrase, which says, "seeking whom he may devour." The title of the message this morning, "How Not to Be Devoured by Satan." Think that's practical, don't you? Amen. How not to be devoured by Satan. Sometimes the devouring is so subtle that you find yourself in a position where you had no idea that as much of you has been consumed as has been. Your faith is shipwrecked. Your life is wrecked. You've lost everything that you have, and you have no purpose in life and nowhere to go. Say, "That can't happen to me, preacher." Yes, it can. "Let that man that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." I want you to notice some things this morning that you can use to combat this evil, wicked spirit that wants to devour you and literally destroy you. You say, "Well, preacher, I thought when I got saved, that when I was born again, that it'd be smooth sailing from then on in, and everything would be okay. I don't know who you've been listening to." But that's dead wrong. Your battle only starts when you get saved, because then you have to live in a conflict 24/7 that you can't get away from the old man, and he is set for your destruction. Make no mistake about it. He wants to destroy you and ruin you and drive you away from God. So think soberly this morning about what the Apostle Peter said, "seeking whom he may devour." I want you to notice some things that you can use against him. The Bible said that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The scripture says, "casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." What we think in our mind is going to affect what we become and how we live out our lives. The battleground is certainly in your mind. If you feed garbage into your mind is full of garbage. And if you feed garbage into your mind, it's going to obstruct, hinder, hide whatever promises and power of God that may be built up in your mind. So first of all, that battle that rages in the mind must be fought. And you must understand some simple truths and base your relationship with God on what God's Word says and not how you feel, nor how someone tells you you are or what you may have accomplished. We are what we are, not by what we have accomplished or what we think or who we think we are. We are who we are by what God says we are. And that's altogether important. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse 1, "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world will never understand sonship. Oh, the world would understand you if you were religious, if you talked about the Ten Commandments all the time, if you talked about the morality, and if you talked about all of the things that relate to religion, sure, the world can relate to that because it's the outward. It's what you can see. Sonship is not what you do. Sonship is who you are. Once you ever get it settled in your heart and in your soul that the day that God saved you, you became a son of God by the new birth. God is my Father. And nothing's going to change that. Satan comes back and reminds me of the life that I lived for 27 years. Satan comes along and reminds me of my weaknesses and shortcomings and failures and faults. Satan is sure there, Johnny on the spot, to hinder me in every aspect of my life. But there's one thing he can't change. I am a son of God by the new birth. Now, if you really get that in your mind, you'll understand what your roots are about. You'll understand what your life is about. You'll understand what it's all about. It's not about you. It's about him. You grow up in a home, you've got a father. Thank God if you grow up in a home that you've got a father. It's very, very irregular for a boy not to want to be like his father. The boy's father is the greatest thing on earth. He wants to emulate him. He wants to be like him. He wants to one day grow up and be just like his dad. That's natural. And the reason it is natural is because God put an order in your heart. He put a message in your soul. And this is the way it is with a Christian. I want to be like my father. I want to be what he is. I want to be where he is. Because he is everything to me. But the only way that that can happen is to go through the way, the door that he has made possible for me to approach God the Father. I pity these people that knew not make a distinction between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. My friend, they all make up the Godhead, but each one is specifically and individually different in this relationship to you. You're wasting your time to go to God the Father without God the Son. God the Son will take you to the Father. Satan will try to destroy that fatherhood of God in your life. He will try to make you think that you're not really his son, that your head is full of religion, that you just decided to turn over a new leaf. You went through a reformation. He'll try to make you think in your mind that it's all in the mind. But if you'll get on your knees and go back to the point where you met him and cry out to God about the first time you met God, he will assure you in your heart that if you're either born again or you're not born again. If you're not born again, you got to find a place. You got to find a place where you met him, and you got to find a place where you know him. Because the new birth is absolutely essential for you to know God as your Father. Churches today don't preach the new birth. They preach about living right. They preach about feeling right. They preach about everything about how you feel. But it's not about the new birth. Sad, sad, sad. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You must remind Satan constantly that your righteousness is not what you do. Your righteousness is what he did. Before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, there was a righteousness from the first Adam to the second Adam, the last Adam. It was the righteousness of men that lived on this earth and how they lived out their lives. You can study the Old Testament and you get it over and over and over and over again about his righteousness, his righteousness, his righteousness. You got three men named in the Old Testament: Job, Noah, and Daniel. And these three men in the book of Ezekiel, he talks about their righteousness. And he said that even these three men, Job, Noah, and Daniel, if they came before me, they could not remove my judgment that's coming on you even by their righteousness, their pure, holy lives. But when you come to the New Testament, everything has changed. There is a righteousness now, and that righteousness is the righteousness of a sinless, perfect man. That sinless, perfect man ascended to the right hand of God the Father by his own righteousness. And that righteousness becomes your righteousness. And it is no longer how you live to work out your righteousness. It is what you believe that makes you righteous. Now let me tell you something. There's a crowd out there today preaching, well, that preacher, that's just all in the mind. And there's really no power in it. I'll tell you the power. The power is if you accept that you're a son of God. And the power is that you accept the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It completely begins to change your perspective. It will lift you to heights that your works and your righteousness never would. Because I don't care how hard you try, how much of a great bank account of righteousness you think you've built up, you're going to fail.
Yes, sir.
And when you do fail, your ivory castle is going to come crumbling down. And you're going to throw up your hands and you're going to be ready to quit. But if my righteousness is what the Lord Jesus Christ built by Himself in His sinless life, it is nothing with what I've done. It is everything with what He's done. And I believe Him and I accept Him and I apply that to my life. And once I, by faith, begin to receive what He did for me, it comes back out of my life and it begins to determine and dictate who I am and how I live. Everything that we have to do with God is based on faith. The Bible said in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Satan will hinder you every way in the world. He'll throw every kind of a spiritual counterfeit in your path. You live in an age of great deception. You live in an age of religious deception. The churches that call themselves Christian churches today are practicing New Age doctrine. When you walk into some of these places, you don't know if you're going to confront a demon. You don't know if it's going to be a demon in the pulpit. You have no idea what you're going to come against. And the average American that knows nothing about the spiritual battle or the Word of God are completely unprepared when they walk into these places. And so the Bible tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus is my life. Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is the Savior of my soul. Jesus is the lover of my soul. Jesus is the object for my life. Jesus is my future. Jesus is everything. He's everything. He's all there is. He's all there ever has been. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of honor. Our mouths should be constantly singing His praises 24/7. If you'll ever fix your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ and get it off of yourself and get it off of Satan, you'll see a change begin to take place as praise and glory comes out of your soul. I don't believe there's any way that anybody can examine the Son of God completely. Examine Him like Pontius Pilate did and say anything other than I find no fault in Him. He's glorious. He's beautiful. He's eternal. He's the Savior. And there is none beside Him. Bless His righteous name. The church has lost its identity. When you walk in the average church house today, it's all about what we're going to do for social reform. What are we going to do for this and this and this and this? You ought to walk into the house of God and be confronted immediately with Jesus. Amen. That's what the sinner needs, is Jesus. He doesn't need to turn over a new leaf. He doesn't need to join the church. He doesn't need reformation. He doesn't need your confirmation. He needs Jesus. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 4, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I agree, amen. I know one inside me that every devil in hell knows. Every devil in hell knows his name. They know what he did at Calvary. I heard a demon-possessed one say one time, and the demon was talking, and the demon said this, oh yes, I was there. Oh yes, I was there in Jerusalem when he died. Oh yes, that demon said, I saw the whole bloody thing. That's what the demon said. You think you're dealing with dumb things? The only dumb ones are us. The demons, the spirit world is very smart. And they know exactly what it takes to get down into your soul. I can do all things through Christ Hallelujah. And that Bible said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When you think you've gone down for your last time, when you think it's time to throw in the towel, when you think that there's no hope on the horizon, when you think that God has forsaken you, when you think that there's no need, there's no peace, that you'll never have what you had before, if Satan can never get you to the place where hope is taken out of your soul, then Satan can come and sift you and devour you. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm talking about the God-man that lived 2,000 years ago that said to Satan in the wilderness, get thee hence, Satan. I'm talking about the one who in weakness went to the cross and died so I could be saved. Get thee hence, Satan. The Bible says this in the book of 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, yes, triumphing over them in it. Let me give you a red flag this morning. Please hear what I'm saying. Any man that drags you to the Old Testament, that spends all of his time in the Old Testament trying to show you your relationship with God and God's relationship with man and what it takes to live for the Lord, that man doesn't have a clue who the Lord Jesus Christ is. When he was here 2,000 years ago, time and again he said, ye have heard it said by them of old time, but I say unto you. In the Old Testament, they took a man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. They took him out and they stoned him to death. You understand the difference? When they drug a woman taken in adultery to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, compare this adulteress with a man who picked up sticks. And that woman that was taken in adultery, they were ready to stone her to death because they said, Moses in the law. They're quoting the Old Testament. They're quoting the old Bible, as they call it. Moses in the law said, such should be stoned. What do you say? And the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and wrote in the dirt. And the Bible said, the oldest to the youngest got up, threw their stones down and walked away. He looked at the guilty sinner. Hallelujah to God. He looked at the guilty sinner. Glory to God. He looked at that one who was caught red-handed. No doubt about her guilt. He looked at her and said, go and sin no more. After where are your accusers? They're not here. That, my dear friend, is a good contrast between stoning a man to death because he picked up sticks on the Sabbath day and a woman taken in adultery. Will you say then, preachers, the Old Testament wrong? No. It's not wrong, but it's in its time progressed to the age of grace. The Bible said, Moses gave you the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'll tell you right now, I'll be just as honest as I know how. There's not a one of them out there preaching all this law to people that would want to go back and live under that law. Oh no. Oh no. They preach that law to control you. Oh, when it comes to their sins, they want the grace of God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I want the grace of God 24/7. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Run you to the book of Ecclesiastes and tell you that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, give glory to him. That's good. Did you know that that's what they preach in the tribulation period? But the Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter number 1, if I or an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel to you, let him be, and he uses the strongest Greek word he can find, let him be anathema. In plain words, let him have a curse put on him that cannot be removed, and let his downsetting be cursed. Let his uprising be cursed. Let his prosperity be cursed. Let his family be cursed. Let everywhere he goes be cursed. If he tries to preach any other gospel unto you than that I have preached, man saying it came Wednesday night, sitting right here, and we were taking prayer requests. And he said there's a man over in the hospital that wanted somebody to come and pray with him. And two preachers had been requested to go pray with this man. Two preachers. They were going to go, they had been requested that they go pray with him. Here's what the preacher said. Well, when he gets right with God, we'll come and pray with him. Did you hear that? Now meditate on that for a minute. Chew on that for a while. That's what the grace of God's for. To get you right. When a man comes through that back door, or a woman comes through that back door, laden with sins, are we supposed to say to them, you're not clean enough to come in here. You're not religious enough to come into our place. Oh, no, 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 no. It's one thing if you're working in the church and you're teaching classes and you're leading kids and you're standing as a representative of the Lord. That's one thing. But folks, those doors are wide open for whosoever will. Let him come through those doors. I'm not afraid of the power of God. Amen. We've had witches in here. We've had Satanists in here. We've had prostitutes come through that door. We've had pimps come through that door. We've had Baptists come through that door. And the grace of God covers it all. Makes no difference who you are. Couldn't care less. Get up here like a big 12-gauge shotgun with birdshot and just let it fly. Amen. Amen. Let it go and it'll find its target. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. I know some preacher want a 22, buddy. They want an amen. Yes. I'm going to get you, buddy. I heard last week what you said. I'm going to get you. Yes. Yeah, I heard all about it. I'm going to get you. Yes. And that kind of preaching, that's garbage. Yes. Just get up and preach the book. It'll take care of it. Yes. It'll find the one that needs it. Amen, it will. Amen. Tell this to the devil. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father, and he's blessed. Blessed is righteous name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the earth below. I messed up, didn't I? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us where? In the heavens, where Satan can't touch it. Where Satan can't pervert it. Where Satan can't change it. It's recorded and registered by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there. It's ours. It can't be changed. God has blessed me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yes, he's blessed me. Well, I feel cursed. That's because you're listening to Satan and you're letting him try to do it. And he cannot curse what God has blessed. Amen. 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 Psalm chapter 139, verse 13. I love this one. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Boy, we're talking about an unborn child. Now I want you to notice carefully. I took these three words, possessed, reins, and covered. And I dug a little deeper into a Hebrew lexicon. And here are the meaning of those words. Possessed means thou hast created me. And reins means my most sensitive, delicate part. And thou hast covered me. That means to protect me in my mother's womb. The Apostle Paul said that he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. God's hand was on you from the first breath you drew. God's hand was on you from the first tick of your heart. God's hand was on you to bring you to this house this morning. Oh yes, you might have fought him. You might have got out of the way. You might have stumbled. Oh yes. You might have gone forward one step and back three. Oh yes. Everything that can happen to a human can happen. But he had a purpose in you coming into this world. Yeah, he did. And he has blessed me. He has. Listen, if I leave out of here today at 71, all I can say is glory to God in the highest. God's been good to me. God has blessed me beyond my wildest expectations. So I am here today because God brought me here today. You really believe that, preacher? You really believe your life is so important to God that God is definitely involved in your life? Yes, I do. I honestly believe that one little bleating sheep on this earth, one little child, one little baby, is far more important to God than Mars. I do. I believe that that little human soul is far more important to him than the Milky Way. Look out, all that out there. I don't know what's out there. I don't think anybody really knows all that's out. But I know who's out there. And it's all that matters. The Creator and Sustainer, El Shaddai. So remind yourself today. You're not who you feel like you are this morning. You might have got up with a bad day, headache, been a bad day so far, you know. You don't feel saved. It's not about who you feel that you are. And it's not what somebody has told you that you are. You are who God says you are. And if you're born again, you're His son. And He's got a place at the table that nobody else can sit. Just you. You'll find a place. I want to sit right next to Mephibosheth. Come out of Lodibar. I'm sitting right next to him. Because you talk about a humble man, but who's a dead dog like me? He calls me to the master's table. Dead dog's what he said. Dead dog like me, called to the master's table. That humility will rub off on you. Pride will rebel you. Repel. You know what? It will repel, but humility will rub off on you. You get around a humble spirit and it'll start humbling you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I go home this afternoon, I'm a son of God. If my heart jumps out of rhythm at 1 o'clock in the morning and it's running up 150, 160 beats a minute, I know all about it, been there many times, been to the ER many times. I'm an old veteran at that. I'm still his son. Still his son. Nothing's changed. I still belong to him. I'm still his, and that can't change. That's how to keep from being devoured. He wants to devour you. Have you been listening to the liar? Why don't you come down here this morning and say, Lord, let's go back to square one, start all over again. Let's just go back to the beginning. I want to go back to the beginning with you. Because I know there was a time when it was sweet and it was precious. And I loved you and you loved me and I knew it. I want to go back there, Lord. I just want to start from scratch again. And that's good. That's good to go back to square one, first base. Go back to the beginning. Go back to home plate. That's the beginning. Go back to the beginning of it. Just say, Lord, here I am. Let's start it all over again. He won't re-save you, but He'll start your life again. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I don't want anybody in this house, Lord, to leave out of here devoured by the devil. I don't want to see that. Father, I want to see every soul that's in this house blessed. I want to see them blessed. I want to see them happy in the Lord. I want to see them with joy in their soul. I want to see them walking the walk with God, singing and rejoicing and shouting. That's what I want to see, Lord. I want to see homes healed and broken marriages put together again. I want to see little children that are crying for their mommy and daddy. I want to see them be able to have their mommy and daddy back in their home again. I want to see that man who's wasted and broken lives and wasted his life. I want to see him healed and put back together again. I want to see that, Father, in Jesus' name. A restorer of the breach. A builder of the walls. A healer of the land. That's my calling. In thy name we pray. Amen. Stand up, brother. What have we got?